It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light up. Redeem us, Holy Ghost, lead us today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words: "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." He responded, and now over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is, and it's coming now, it's coming.
Your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, good Friday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on VP and radio on this wonderful day the Lord has made. That's why we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I have a prophetic word that's the prophetic words I'm going to share with you today. And so this is going to be a prophetic day. And you know, with all that's going on in America and all that's going on in other nations of the world, like Greece and China and other happenings across the universe, are reminders that the church must be fully awake, fully alert. And several weeks ago, I stood in a church in Port Arthur, Texas, and shared prophetic words. Most of the time when I go into a local church, I give prophetic words to individuals. But on this Sunday morning, I shared a prophetic word, prophetic words for the church, which I'm going to share with you today here on BPN. Thank you for listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. On the air at this time or any time, around the clock, around the globe. And thank you for helping me pray. Several months ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to go on internet radio, and I want you to lead prayer 24 hours a day. You know, we have some new regulations coming down concerning the internet, so you know, I don't know. I'm not for sure how long I'm going to be able to lead prayer here on internet radio. But while I can, I want to call you to pray as an individual, your family, your church, your city, and your nation. And so, Father, we just come boldly into your presence on this Friday, declaring, God, you are our Father, and we are your sons and daughters. We come boldly by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, declaring in the name of the Lord that you anoint this prayer service and prophetic session, prophetic service here, prophetic broadcast here on BPN Radio today. And so we're going to pray, and I'm going to share some prophetic words concerning our future. And I want to remind you that Leland and I will be leading the Austin Music and Prayer Gathering July the 19th, 20th, and 21st at Jubilee Christian Center, Austin, Texas. Three nights, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. And we're inviting everybody to come. The public is welcome, and admission is free. And we'll also have some young people, some high school and college age students who will be preaching, sharing prayers, testimonies. Just going to be an awesome time. And don't miss coming to Jubilee Christian Center July 19th, 20th, and 21st. Also would like to remind you that all of these broadcasts are now archived. And so all of the broadcasts, the programs since November 19th when we started, are available by going to bpnradio.com and then go down to where you have the headphones. You can click on there and proceed on. I'm thankful for our producer, Michael Sean Bourne, who has made those available to you. Very thankful and very grateful. So today I'm going to share prophetic words the Holy Spirit has given me. And, you know, as a prophetic voice since 1985, I share what the Holy Spirit gives me, what I'm seeing and hearing concerning the future of this nation and nations of the world. And, of course, I've reminded you many times that you are to keep in mind that the following prophetic words that I will give from the church in Port Arthur, Texas, could be now words. They could be future words. They could be confirming words. They could be new words. And we must understand that most all prophetic words are conditional according to the response of the people. That means with prayer and repentance, circumstances and situations may be turned around or reversed, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Prophecies are not predictions, they're psychic sightings. They're words from the Holy Spirit giving us insight to coming events. And I still believe that the work of the prophet is still the same as it was in the Old Testament, when the prophet would stand on the wall and he would say to the people, he would blow the trumpet, warn the people. And the Bible says in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God does nothing except he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Prophetic words are given to warn the people and to warn the wicked and to warn the righteous. Ezekiel 3. The prophets will declare what they're seeing, and the intercessors will hear and intercede on behalf of the land. Isaiah 21:6 says, go set a watchman, let him declare what he sees. Jeremiah 42:4 says, then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back. Ezekiel chapter 3 says, Son of man, I made you a watchman. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. 1 Corinthians 13 says that we know in part and prophesy in part. So the words that I'm going to share with you today are not the complete words of what's happening. They're just partial words that the Holy Spirit gave me several weeks ago. And I'm going to share those words with you for the first time. Remember, this is not a preaching sermon. This is where I stand in a church and I begin to get prophetic words like I've given for the past 30 years all across America and around the world. So we're going to have some prophetic words here in just a few moments. But before we do, here is my friend Martin Smith. He's going to sing the prophet's song, and then I'm going to share the words that I gave several weeks ago in a church in Port Arthur, Texas.
Of the prophet, I love to sing with the angels. I love to hear children praying. I love to see weak made strong. But most of all, I love to hear the voice of God. I hear the prayers of the prayers. I hear the songs in the silence. I see the joy of the dancers and all the healing they bring. But most of all, I love to hear the voice of God.
Oh yes,
most of all, I love to hear the voice of God. Call on the name of the Lord, for He is the one who can save. He is the giver of life to the world. We'll hunger and thirst for Your word, for here we will meet You, Lord. The voice of the living God, Jesus Christ. We long to see heaven open. I see Your glory come down.
I see Your glory come down.
We long to hear words eternal, forever changing our hearts. If You'd come, we'd love to hear the voice of God. Oh, will You come? We long to hear Your voice, oh God. Speak to us, Lord. Yeah. We'll call on the name of the Lord, for He is the one who can save. The giver of love to the world. Oh, yeah. We'll hunger and thirst for Your word, for here we will meet You, Lord. The voice of the living God, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
And if you'd come, we'd love to hear the voice of God. Oh, when you come, we long to hear your voice, oh God.
Unusual night this last night. The Holy Spirit woke me up about 1:15, and I spent a lot of the night up, and the Holy Spirit just speaking to me. I love the Holy Ghost to talk to me. I love revelation. And he had me to get up twice, and the second time he said, I want you to read, go in and read the book of Judges. Now here I am in the middle of the night. I'm in Port Arthur, Texas, in a hotel, and I don't even have my Bible right now. But Mrs. America, I think, is going to bring my Bible. My big Bible. So I got up, got my big Bible, went in the restroom, and opened my Bible, began to read from the book of Judges. And the Holy Spirit began to talk to me about the church. You know, the tomorrow on BPN Radio, I'm going to be sharing a lot of prophetic words that God has given me over the years. And the primary work of the prophet is not to give individual words, although I love to do that. I'll give some of those tonight at 6 o'clock. But the primary work of the prophet is to speak to the nation, to the city, to the church. And so, you know, for many years, I was a prophetic voice. And then in 1985, God began to open the door for me to go across America to nations of the world to begin to prophesy what I was hearing and seeing. Since 1990, I've been giving every year prophetic words concerning America. I'll be sharing some of those on BPN Radio tomorrow, but our nation is in crisis, and we, the church, are the last line of defense. We're it. We're the last line of defense. And I know that sometimes we don't want to hear about anything that we might deem negative. You know, I've been to churches, I wish you wouldn't talk about negative stuff. But we don't live in the America that I knew as a boy. Huh? We don't live in that nation now. We are a nation that whose walls have been broken down, gates have been burned with fire. We're living in different days and different times. And the Bible said the sons of Issachar, they understood their times. They understood what was going on. And it's the work of the prophet to begin to stand to declare what he sees coming. Because he stands on the wall. And the intercessors, the prayers, are to be in their closet praying over what the prophet's declaring, and they are also to declare what they are hearing in the closet to the prophet. And so we must be aware and alert of the signs that we're living in, the days that we're living in, unless we be caught completely unaware
of what is going on, what is happening. But I believe that God is raising up an army of local churches who understand what is happening in a nation, who understand what is happening in a land. Now, they've not given themselves over to some type of one-hour services or 35-minute services, predetermine what they're going to do. But there are some churches like this church in America who loves the Holy Ghost, who loves the moving of the Spirit, who is willing to obey God and to do whatever they hear the Holy Spirit saying, or say whatever they hear the Holy Spirit saying, and do whatever they see the Holy Spirit doing. And so because this is a church that I believe understands and is open to what is happening in this nation, then I want to share with you what I heard for just a very few minutes, what I heard the Holy Spirit saying concerning our nation. When I got up last night and the Holy Spirit began to have me to read the book of Judges, he said to me, the church in America is like Samson. The church would be likened unto Samson. And Samson, you must understand, had a wonderful beginning. You must understand that Samson was born in a supernatural atmosphere. His mother could not have children. She was a barren woman. But by a supernatural act of the Holy Ghost, God brought Samson to be a deliverer to his nation, because for 40 years, the children of Israel had been under the bondage, under the hard, harsh hand of the Philistines. But God brought Samson onto the scene to bring freedom, to be a deliverer. You must understand that God used the church in America to bring them to a country where there was no oppression, where they could live out a godly life. For over 100 years in America, the schools were in the church, and the Bible was the only textbook for over 100 years. And the first colleges and universities, the Ivy League schools, such as Harvard and Yale, were started to train preachers so that they could go out and preach the gospel. And the first colleges were started because the students needed to learn how to read better. But the church was the place where the students were trained on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then they would have church in the same building on Sunday. And the Bible was the textbook for over 100 years. Finally, they did add McGuffey's Reader, which if you've never read, would be very interesting reading. It does talk about heaven and hell and drinking and all of that other stuff. And so they added McGuffey's Reader. And the church, like Samson, was brought into this nation to make a difference, to be a beacon, to be a light to the nations of the world. For as America went, so went the nations of the world. But Samson had a moral problem. He had a moral issue. America has a moral issue. We have lost our moral compass, and we have fallen into immorality. And we have come to the place where we're violating the principles. About to see the Supreme Court pass a law, a ruling down to the nation that has been contrary to the laws of God for 2,000 years. Marriage has been between one man and one woman. And we're living in a day now where white people want to be black and black people want to be white and men want to be women and women want to be men. And I heard about one guy want to be a dog, and he lives in Pennsylvania, and he believes he's going to be transformed into a dog. And he goes down the street barking, and there's times he'll eat dog food because he does not want to be a man. He wants to be a dog. So we've lost our way. We call good evil and evil good. And we have a society that if you don't agree with them, then they will ridicule and mock you and call you ignorant and dumb and out of touch. So Samson, he violated the laws of God, and he thought because the Holy Spirit still came upon him from time to time that he was doing okay. But he began to live an immoral life, and he sought out harlots and whores and began to lose his moral compass. And there was warnings that came, but he would not heed the warning. And finally, he fell into the lap of a Jezebel spirit. And so we find that the church is in a vile condition today because of Jezebel spirits. And Jezebel spirits are spirits that control and manipulate the leadership of the church. And so we began to falter quite a few years ago in America when pastors ceased to lead the church and certain people in the congregation began to control and manipulate what was going to happen in the church. They would vote on what they were going to do and who was going to lead the women's group. And they, if they didn't like the pastor, they would vote him out and vote somebody else in. And the Jezebel spirit began to come in and overtake the church. And there were certain individuals that had no anointing to do that. They would begin to control and manipulate how the church was to operate, how the church was to function. And the men of God, like Samson, began to lay in the lap of Delilah. And Delilah was not only had a sensual spirit, but she had a controlling spirit. And remember, Jesus, he spoke about in the book of Revelations, he spoke about Jezebel. He said that woman that calls herself a prophetess, who manipulates, controls the church. He said you would not get rid of her. You let her function in the church. And because of that, we come to the next phase, and that is the church of Laodicea. And that is where the church is today. And when Jesus described the church, the Laodicean church, in the book of Revelations, chapters 2 and 3, he said, I have somewhat against you because you are not hot, you're not cold, and you're not hot. I'd rather you be cold or hot, but you're neither one. You're lukewarm. So where's the church today? I'm not talking about every congregation. I'm talking about the church in general. The church is in a lukewarm condition. We're not cold. We're not hot. We want to please the people. We try to have surveys to say, what does the people want? How long would they like to come to church? What would they like to do? We'll put it to a vote. And we will take the scripture. And we will take portions of the scripture out. We won't talk about hell. We'll talk about heaven on earth. And we won't talk about adultery. And we'll talk about love. And we won't talk about sin because we don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. We want everybody to feel comfortable. We want to make nice. That would be a good title for a good country song. We want to make nice. And so we'll all be nice. And we don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. And we'll just express the love of God. We won't express any hatred for sin. And we'll begin to preach messages that everybody, that people can come and agree with. Like an extreme grace message. Once you accept Jesus, then you've been forgiven of anything that you will ever do, and you can go out and live any way you want to. And the priest will not talk about the consequences of sin because we don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. So whatever makes you feel good, you can just go ahead and do. But there are ramifications, and there are price to pay. Because sin always takes you farther than you want to go, always costs you more than you want to pay. And so the pastor quit talking about the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness, holiness and disobedience, and the people begin to go their own way, and Samson, he began to lay in the lap of Delilah, and Delilah said, "Where is your strength?" And he said, "My strength," finally, he said, "My strength is in my hair. I meant my prayer." The strength of the church is in our prayer. And when the church quits praying, then the city starts playing. And anything goes. And as a result, the enemy comes in and takes Samson, the mighty man that was brought to be the deliverer of a nation, whom God dealt with for 20 years. He let him go for 20 years. But finally one day God said, "Enough is enough." And there will come a day in America that God will say, "Enough is enough." And he will give this nation over to our enemies. And they took Samson, and in shame and humiliation, they took an object and they put his eyes out that he could no longer see. What Satan wants to do is destroy the church. We are the last line of defense in America. He wants to put our eyes out that we cannot see. We cannot see good from evil, evil from good. We cannot see what's happening in our land. We are blind, wandering around, trying to do the next thing that makes us feel good. Do you know what's happening to America? We are bored. We're bored with life. Laying in the lap of Delilah, while the enemy comes and cuts our hair, our prayer off. That we no longer pray and seek the face of God as an individual. So Satan comes to take prayer out of our own life. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to get up and pray. We pray in passing. And then we take the prayer out of our family. We don't have prayer with our kids or grandkids before they go to school or before they go to bed. And so we remove prayer from our lives. And we remove prayer from our family. And then eventually we remove prayer from the church, where the church is not praying together, not seeking God. So we become a prayerless church and a prayerless city and a prayerless nation. Until the enemy comes in and says, "You cannot name the name of Jesus. And if you say anything that is contrary to our laws in a church, we will lock the doors." So Satan has come to put out the eyes of the church so that we cannot see. Cut our hair off, which represents our prayer, and take us into captivity. Set up another religion. While 4,000 churches in America are being closed every year, mosques are being built at a 78% increase every year. And while we proclaim that we are a Christian nation, our leader says we are no longer a Christian nation. And we do little to refute that by coming to our little sessions and having our two songs and a testimony and a motivational speech and go our way looking for another game or looking for something to satisfy. Bored, losing touch, not realizing all the while that the enemy is at our doorstep to bring destruction and change the way that we have lived forever. Samson and Delilah. In the end, Samson did revive, but it was in the midst of persecution. I believe with all of my heart that God desires to send revival to America. That's why I'm on radio, internet radio, 24 hours a day. That is why I've been leading prayer in America, prayer groups, since 1967. That's why since 1985, for 30 years now, Gene and I have gone up and down across America, the nations of the world, calling people to pray. From the White House to the least house, we've led prayer. In Wembley Stadium with tens of thousands of people, and in little rooms with just crowded a few people in, we have called people to pray, because we know that as long as we're praying, the enemy is at bay. But when he cuts our hair, our prayer, then we will be taken into captivity. And we will not be able to exercise the freedoms and the privileges that we have enjoyed our lifetime. And so that's why I believe that God is sending out a warning today to the church. Because I believe that God is giving us a warning. A warning. He's warning the nation. And the church is the last line of defense. We must pray. We must stand on that promise. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And we're coming now to a place that was described in the book of Daniel, where the king passed a decree that when you hear the sound of all of these instruments, you're going to bow down to what I say, because my rules now are higher than the rules of God. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not bow. We will stand true to the principles of God's word. There must be a determination in our hearts as Christians that the laws and the principles of God are higher than the laws and principles of man. Hallelujah. And we must understand that this life, ladies and gentlemen, is only temporal. But there's another life that's eternal. I'm in for the long haul. I'm in for the long run. And I've given my life leading prayer. I've given my life to calling people to pray. And I want to ask you today, a little bit of an unusual service as far as what I do. But the Holy Ghost just woke me up and said, you got to say it here first, because I believe this is a key church. I believe it's a key church. I believe that what happens in this church is going to make a difference in this city and this nation. I don't believe that the message that I'm giving today is going to fall on deaf ears. I believe it's going to be received. And I believe that this church is a strong tower in Port Arthur, Texas, in this golden triangle, in the state of Texas and this nation. And I believe there's a radical revival coming to America. And I don't know what's going to happen first. I don't know if there's going to be severe persecution first, or I don't know if the church is going to respond and is going to push back the powers of darkness. I don't know. I believe that we'll make the choice. The church in America will make the choice. But I know the Laodicean church will not do it. They're neither hot nor cold. They're not running after God. They're not seeking after God. They don't want to come to church and pray. They have itching ears, and people run from, the Bible says that's what happened in the last days. They will have itching ears, and they'll run from place to place trying to find a church what makes them feel comfortable. And they love that. And nobody will say anything contrary to the way they live or how they operate their life. But I believe there are churches in America, including this church, that is saying, Lord, heat this house seven times hotter. We will be hot for you. We will obey you. We will seek your face. We will call upon you. We will name sin. And we will pray. and we will seek your face until there's revival in this city and 1,000 cities in this nation. Can you stand and praise him with me today?
Can a nation be saved? Can a nation be turned back to you?
Father God, we're on our knees again today, here on this Friday, as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. And we just cry out to you today, Lord, we desperately need your help in this nation, in this land. Lord, we see the signs of the times. Help us, Lord, to be like the sons of Issachar who understood their times in Jesus' name. And we stand in the gap here today as intercessors on behalf of our land, asking, O God, that you come and heal our nation, heal our land, O God. We need you now. Lord, we need you now. Can a nation be saved? Can a nation be changed? Yes, a nation can be, but a nation that is saved must turn from our wicked ways, confess our sins, the sins of our nation, and ask God for mercy. And we know that we can change the tide by the prayers of the saints, by the prayers of the people. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And I declare that the options rest with us as Christians. I don't believe it's que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. What's going to happen, will happen. I don't believe that. I believe there is an if in there. If my people. And that word is still good today. It's still good today. And if the Old Testament words were still not good for today, then the powers of darkness would not be trying to tear down the Ten Commandments that were spoken in the Old Testament and other things that were given. We believe the entire Bible. We believe the truth, and we believe the truth will set us free. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you will awaken the church. In Jesus' name, I pray in the name of the Lord that your people will gather in their homes, that your people will gather in their church, that your people will gather in city halls, in stadiums, and they will begin to pray and seek your face. We call for a national repentance. We know that's happening in other nations of the world, even this year, where there's been presidents or leaders of nations that have stood and called for national repentance. We pray today for national repentance in this nation. In Jesus' name, forgive us of our sins, Lord. We repent for the sins of our nation. We stand in the gap. Will you help me pray today on this Friday here on BPN Radio? Would you help me pray for change? And when I talk about change, I talk about a change from darkness to light. I'm talking about a change from unrighteousness to righteousness, from ungodliness to godliness, from disobedience, uncleanness to holiness, to righteous living, serving God, standing upon the principles that we have been given in God's holy word. So I pray today for my nation. I pray for my president. I pray for my vice president. I pray for the president's cabinet. I pray for Congress today. I pray for the House of Representatives, and I pray for the United States Senate. I pray for those decision makers in Washington, D.C. I pray for the decision makers in states all across America. I pray for my governor, Greg Abbott. Pray for your governor. And I pray for Mayor Adler, the mayor of Austin, Texas. I pray for my county sheriff, Gary Cutler. I pray for my congressperson, Roger Williams. Why don't you pray for those in authority? I pray in Jesus' name for my pastor, Bob Nichols, and I pray for these pastors that I'm in a relationship with here in this city, and pastors all across America that are standing in the gap. They're standing and preaching the word. In Jesus' name, Lord, we need you now. We need you now. In Jesus' name. Lord, we need you. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Folks, I believe that America I do believe America is going to rise again, because I believe there's an awakening coming. And I believe there's an army. I believe there's an army of intercessors who are rising up to pray in a way they've never prayed before, with groanings and travailings in the Spirit. I believe there's an army of young people that's rising up out of obscurity to preach the word, to preach to their generation. I believe there's old men and women coming out of retirement with a new fire in their bones, and they're going to preach and declare the word of the Lord. I believe that pastors are going to begin to stand with great boldness and great confidence, fearlessly speaking and decreeing and declaring the word of the Lord. I do believe that America is going to rise again. Just believe it. Here's Kathy Strong. There you have Kathy Strong, America. You'll rise again. Father, we believe that. We believe that in Jesus' name. We just call for revival. We call for revival all across this land. We call for revival all across America. We pray for prayer leaders in 1,000 cities. 1,000 prayer leaders in 1,000 cities. In Jesus' name. One of our prayer leaders, whose name is Roy Ivins, who's a tent evangelist, and puts up tents in various locations, to preach the gospel and to pray for the sick. His name is Roy Ivins. He's putting up his tent starting tonight, Friday night, through next Wednesday night, July the 15th, in Lubbock, Texas. If you want to go out there, Lubbock, Texas. And the tent location is 52nd and Avenue L. 52nd and Avenue L in Lubbock, Texas. Evangelist Roy Ivins. Folks, I believe there's going to be revival all across this land. I'm persuaded there's a change coming, that people are turning to God. And I'm believing for millions. I believe for millions to turn to God. But I believe it's all conditional. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And we need to begin to intercede for the lost. We need to begin to intercede for people that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. And I believe one of the greatest, the best kept secrets in America is going on in Fort Worth, Texas, where since September of 2013, they have been going out 5 days a week to win the lost. And they now have won over 85,000 people to Jesus by going door to door. That's a passion for the lost. And we as Christians, we as the church, must have a passion for the lost. And so, Father, we pray for America. We pray for revival in 1,000 cities in this nation, in Jesus' name. And if you want to receive one of my daily prayers, I send out a daily prayer by email. You can receive that every day. It's about a 60-second prayer that you can pray with me in addition to BPN Radio. You just go to letspray.america.com. Letspray.america.com. No apostrophe. Letspray.america.com. And then you can sign up right there to receive one of my daily prayers. And you can also sign up your city. And I believe in God for 1,000 cities. I now have over 1,000 churches. And that is praying with me, and now I'm believing God for over 1,000 cities, as well as 1,000 prayer leaders in those cities. And so you can sign up, you can help me pray, because I believe that that we are eligible for another spiritual awakening, where a nation turns back to God. Thank you for being a part of BPN Radio. I'll be back tomorrow at this same time, or any time, as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America and another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.